Stay with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sulis. Interested in learning new skills online at a pace that suits you? Visit ecollege.ie to apply for one of our free online courses.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Any changes to our skin pigmentation can cause us concern and embarrassment, but many conditions can be benign. How do we protect against them? And when do we need to be worried and seek medical attention? Well, our regular skincare expert, Dr. Rosemary Coleman, joins us now on the line to talk us through all of the issues with skin pigmentation. And Rosemary will take your questions. We actually have some on skin pigmentation, which we'll go through a little bit later on. 51551. Rosemary, thanks very much for joining us again on the programme.
Good morning, Claire.
So listen, when we say skin pigmentation, what does it mean?
Well, pigmentation usually means brown discoloration to most people. And there are a variety of causes of this. The most common, obviously, being sun damage like freckles or age spots. Then there are medical conditions like melasma, also called the mask of pregnancy, which would be a very common cause in our clinic. Moles are pigmented by and large. And then after inflammatory skin conditions like acne or various rashes or even applying perfume to the neck, people can develop a lot of pigmentation.
Okay, and when is it a serious issue? When should you be seeking help?
You should seek help if it bothers you. It doesn't have to be malignant to bother you. So the most benign condition, melasma, also called cloasma, really upsets, I say women because 99% is in women, but it really upsets them and affects their confidence. So then they should seek help and know that there are a lot of treatments that can be done.
But if you have a change in your skin, should you be seeking advice if it's still there after a couple of weeks,
definitely,
regardless of whether it's bothering you or not?
Definitely. So that's a very important point. And that would be to detect melanoma or skin cancer. So if something comes and goes, it's usually benign. But if it appears in your skin and it's still there in 4 to 6 weeks, you should check it out with your GP as a matter of urgency. It may have to be removed.
Mm-hmm.
And remember places like the soles of your feet, and ask your hairdresser to let you know if they see any new moles when they're cutting or blow drying your hair.
Okay, so you're saying to be very active in checking for changes in your skin pigmentation.
Yes, I wouldn't be paranoid about it,
yeah.
But don't ignore it. It's amazing how often people come in and they will say to me, that's their 9 months or 12 months, and they've just waited for it to go. If it's not gone in 6 weeks, they need to know what it is. It may well be totally benign, but don't take a guess on it.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure people are fascinated to hear what you say about perfume. You mentioned that briefly earlier on. You don't want people putting perfume on their neck.
Never. Or aftershave, actually, Claire. It's the most common cause of a quite unsightly pigmentation and mottling on either side of the neck below the ear. And people just automatically spray perfume there. So I say put it on your clothes or on your hair, never on your neck. You can get an interaction with the sun, Burlock's dermatitis, and it can be extremely difficult to treat and remove. So never, nobody should put perfume on the side of their neck.
So that's just not just a temporary condition. That's, you can do a lot of damage.
Yes, you can,
and
it's very hard for us to get rid of it. Even using our strongest lasers and creams, it really does cause quite a permanent interaction. Now, we can improve it using creams, peels, sometimes nitrogen, microneedling lasers. We can improve it. But isn't it much easier to prevent it in the first place? And always bring your sunblock face, neck and chest 365 days a year. I know you've heard that before.
Yeah.
But the UVA is still out there all winter. And you know, if you go on a lovely walk now when we've time over Christmas, even if it's freezing cold and a blue sky, your freckles could be dark by the end of it. You will be exposed to UVA. So protect your neck all year round as well, not just your face.
When you see someone coming into you with freckles, what does that tell you and what are you saying to them?
Okay, well, we all know the lovely Bord Foilsie young girl with red hair and freckles, and it's very much the beautiful Irish colouring. So some people will have very freckled skin from a very early age, but by and large, freckles equals sun exposure and possibly a marker of sun damage, particularly if they're only on the sun-exposed skin. So that usually means they need a lecture on sunblock.
Okay, and you're very good at that. You're very good at that lecture, as we've heard on the programme. Genetics, Rosemary. Yeah. I mean, if you look at your parents, will you have a real clue about what's in your future when it comes to skin pigmentation?
By and large, genetics play a massive role, not only for our skin colouring, although we know that you could have two parents with lovely type 3 skin and then have a milk bottle with type 1 skin who always burns. But by and large, you'll know your skin colour from your parents. And sometimes disorders like melasma will run in families. Moles run in families. So if you're from a moly family, or in particular, if you have a family history of melanoma, that is really, really important to take that on board. Mm-hmm. And if acne runs in the family and people get a lot of pigmentation after it, yes. So genetics really do contribute.
Now, what about the age spots that people will get as they get older? What causes them?
Again, there are two main types that you're probably referring to. One is what the people will refer to as liver spots, such as on the back of the hand or the big flat marks on the face, and they're pretty much sun exposure. And the other type, which are often uncovered skin, are crusty, slightly thick, pigmented plaques, which can occur all over the body, more commonly on protected skin. They've nothing to do with the sun. They are called aging warts, although they're not a virus, or seborrheic keratoses. I liken them to barnacles on a whale. Most of us will get them to some degree as we get older. But we can get rid of them with liquid nitrogen, although if you have thousands, what I do is I manage those in visible or traumatic areas if they're catching in clothes or if they're very unsightly. And likewise with the age spots, we can treat them with liquid nitrogen and lasers. And again, there are a lot of very good skin creams that can be used with active ingredients to reduce the pigment.
Okay. Can you just give us a list of those creams, the basic ones?
Okay. Well, the strongest creams that we would use will be prescription-based, with hydroquinone, vitamin C, kojic acid, methimazole, and then retinols, the stronger retinols. The over-the-counter can, in Europe, you can't get hydroquinone over the counter, and you shouldn't. Nobody listening to the radio should use hydroquinone over the counter. The reason it's prescription is because there are complications. If it's not observed, you can actually make pigmentation much worse. You can make it black, and you can make a permanent ochronosis. So I would strongly advise anybody buying it on the internet. Mm-hmm. The creams that can help would be over-the-counter creams containing vitamin C, kojic acid, azelaic acid, retinol, glycolic acid, or butanin. They work. They can definitely help. Now, what can really help is to get the pigmentation treated first, and an ideal time for that is the winter, when you're not battling with UVB and you've clothes on, etc. So get it under control in the winter and then maintain the improvement throughout the year, and obviously with your sunblock all year round.
I have a lot of questions. We're not going to get through them all. I'm not even going to pretend that we're going to get through them all, but let's touch on a few of them. Louise emailed us to say, I have a dark patch of pigmentation on my cheekbone. I can fade it with a small bit of cosmetic retinol and vitamin C serums, but it never goes away. It will often darken in summer despite heavy protection. I've tried azelaic acid, I'm saying that correctly?
Yes, correct.
Variety of exfoliating acid toners. I wear SPF 50 every day and always a hat outside in the summer. What laser would fade this, or is it possible to ever get rid of it? And Louise is 45.
Well, I think she's managed it extremely well herself, and now it's time to go to your friendly dermatologist.
Okay, so she's done what she can.
We would probably examine that carefully under a dermoscope. Make sure it's not precancerous. She could have a mark there. There's one called lentigo maligna, which can become lentigo maligna melanoma, and it's typically on the face of people as they get older, and it could have been there for 20 years without a problem and then change. So this is a really important point I'm glad she brought up. I have had two cases of superficial spreading melanoma on the cheek that were both, the diagnosis was delayed for 12 months in one and 2 years in the other. They were both melanomas, and they were being treated by IPL with the beauticians. and they were never referred to the doctor. So not all pigmentation is benign. Even flat, harmless-looking things can be an early melanoma. So a dermatologist would assess that, see if it has to be biopsied when the history is so chronic, and otherwise may deem it suitable for a little bit of liquid nitrogen, which will just take a few seconds and treat it.
Okay.
So she should get that checked out.
All right, and we're not trying to scare Louise. But
I'm
this
not trying
is
to scare her, but
all,
it's actually
no.
a great example for other people who might be doing an awful lot of home remedies. You want to make sure it's okay to just keep going.
John is male and bald, and he says I have unsightly brown spots on my head. How can I remove them?
Probably liquid nitrogen.
Gosh, it sounds very drastic, doesn't it?
No, it's not drastic. It's our favourite treatment. It's the first ever dermatology treatment. It must be around about 100 years. But if it's used carefully, it's very effective. But he has sun damage. Now, what that pigmentation tells John is that the top of his head has now had enough sun to cause that pigment, and therefore he's at a serious risk of getting precancerous and cancerous lesions. So if he has any crusty areas on the top of his head, obviously wear a hat almost to bed. Claire, wear a hat all the time, use his sunblock on the head all the time, and get his skin checked out with his GP, and they'll decide if he needs to see a dermatologist.
All right, I will take one more now on pigmentation. I developed skin pigmentation, says Anne, as a result of chemotherapy for breast cancer. It's on the face. It looks like sun damage with a lot of freckles. Could Rosemary recommend any good products or treatment that would help lighten the pigmentation or get rid of it altogether?
The answer is I certainly could. But I would have to see her because
okay.
I need to assess where is the pigment, what level of the skin, and what is the cause of her pigmentation.
Okay, so Anne might need to see a dermatologist,
yes,
because it is
I'm
a very
sure we could help her.
Particular case as a result of chemotherapy, so you'd want to be careful of what you're recommending there. So we can't do that without seeing you, Anne. So sorry, we can't help you.
But I'm sure
you.
We could help.
Rosemary, thank you so much for joining us on the programme. That was very interesting insight into skin pigmentation, what causes it and what treats it. Dr. Rosemary Coleman is a consultant dermatologist at the Black Rock Clinic.